Everyone, my name is Cynthia Delastrinos-Johnson. I'm the chair of the Community Services and Safety Committee. I'm here with my fellow council members, Council Member Deshaun Quinn and Council Member Zach Egan. And on our agenda tonight, the first item is a contract extension agreement for Perfect Mind Software. And I have John who is giving that presentation. Hi, John.
Hello, how are you doing this evening?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. So I'm John Dunn, Recreation Superintendent, also the Acting Recreation Manager at this moment. I'm coming before you with our Perfect Mind Registration Software contract extension. We've been using the program now for 5 years, and our current contract, which was for that 5 year period, expires December 30th of this year. And so we're wishing to continue using the program. And we would like you to authorize the mayor to sign the contract for an additional 5 years. And then over the course of that 5 years, it's a total of $118,000, which is divided out annually for the $23,600 per year, which is already built into our annual budget. So there's no additional ask or for funding for this. It's a continuation of what we currently do.
Thank you. Councilmember Quinn, do you have any questions?
Just high level. John, one, does this provide the kind of necessary work that Parks needs to do with the software and thinking about interoperability, ability to add on new features and other things? So just wanted to get a sense of where Parks is at on the service that you're getting provided with the software.
So the service has been continuing to grow and expand. One of the reasons we went with this particular software a number of years ago is they are always, basically they come out about every quarter with updates and add-ons. So the service is continuing to meet our needs. And as the different users across US and Canada come up with ideas and suggestions, they work those into those plans. So we've been very pleased with the service that we've gotten and the continued growth that it's provided.
Thank you.
Councilmember Egan.
Thank you. I'm just kind of curious if you can elaborate what the actual software does. There's reservations and membership itself. What does it really do, like, for the employees? Is it out-facing customers? Is this for internal use? I just wanted to kind of get more insight of what the actual software is.
So short answer, yes. Everything you just listed. So what it does is for our side, our staff have a certain view that we see that we can do program registration. So all the different activities that we do. We also do our membership sales through that program. We do our facility rentals through that program. We also do point of sale, which is our like drop-ins, things like that. Our teen program uses it for the teen late night to sell snacks and concessions. So it's got a wide range on the point of sale side of it. It also tracks, it's our database for all of our users. So everybody that's come through. We also use it a little bit for our marketing, so we can send emails to our clients from the software. In addition, it does have a client-facing side that we've activated. It's actually customizable, so we can do what's called widgets that we can embed into the website. We've used it a couple different times to set up for online registrations, so people can go into it through their computer, their phones, their tablets. It's all scalable. We also use it during the pandemic. We created a online registration or sign up for the fitness room times. So we were able to do that through the program when we were limiting how many people could be in the weight room. And then we've also given access to our parks department so they can see when there's rentals for the different facilities also. At one point, we were in discussion with Public Works to give them access for the custodians so they could see what was going on in the building. So we kind of use it for pretty much everything we do. It's tied into our facilities and programs.
Thank you so much. So the name of the software is Perfect Mind. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. I like the name. So.
Yeah.
thank you. So this is like the second round of 5 years we're using, or we've been using before, or we've used another software before?
So we, prior to this last 5 years, we used a system called Class, and that was phased out by the company that bought it. And so at that point, we, along with every agency across the U.S. that used it, evaluated a number of different software systems, and we chose the Perfect Mind system, which they're actually out of Canada, just north of us in Vancouver. And so we were actually, to be honest with you, we were one of the first ones to implement it in Washington State. And so we've actually been kind of the leader for Perfect Mind. And we've worked with various agencies around us as they've been looking at the software, and quite a few of them have adopted it also.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Appreciate you. I yield back.
Thank you. That was such a good question, Zach. I didn't realize that it did so much more than so I'm glad you asked and we were able to just learn more about the software. So the request is that this go to the consent agenda on the 18th. That sounds good to me, Sean.
Thank
Zach.
You.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you.
The next item on our agenda is a contract for Tukwila Park improvements, and I have Matt Austin speaking to that.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So you mentioned it perfectly. So Parks is looking to replace the Tukwila Park gazebo that was damaged in a fire in around July 2020. We've been working with different vendors for the past 14 months, attempting to get a contract for replacement. Ultimately, we chose Northwest Playgrounds out of the several that we spoke with. So this particular structure is a gazebo. It's prefab and then constructed on site. Working with WCIA, since it was on fire or damaged because of a fire, they confirmed that they would be reimbursing us for the replacement eventually. Initially, it will be funded out of our CIP funds until that occurs. This particular contract just covers the structure. Additional items are separate from separate vendors that are local. We are looking for council to approve that.
Thank you. Councilmember Quinn, do you have any questions?
It seems pretty straightforward. And the question I had was similar to Councilmember Dunn's around, is this the first contract that we've had with with this organization? And then, I mean, the design was pretty clear. I guess, is there anything in addition that you'd like to share with us on this? I mean, it's kind of straightforward, but what about knowing what was there before and now we are putting it back, is there any design features that may be different this time around, maybe to maybe reduce the issues with sight lines and other things, SIPTED, anything?
Definitely. So the most notable change is that it is a all steel structure. It's galvanized, so lower maintenance costs. The railing structure provides really good visibility. All of the electrical, when installed, will be integral in it, so less likelihood of tampering. The base of the structure will remain, so that's the what will be left from the old structure, and then new support pylons will be installed. So since the entire structure was destroyed, that was really the only thing that was salvageable. So it will stand on the grounds of the old one. As far as we did have some issues with the fire bug in Tukwila Park, and hopefully the construction of this will mitigate that. It's similar to structures that we've installed in other parks, and you had asked if we'd worked with this vendor before. Northwest Playgrounds actually installed several of our playgrounds in the past, so we've had really good results with them.
Thank you.
Councilmember Edan.
Thank you. So just a quick point, like I just wanted to say thank you and shout out for staff for looking into the WCI round and was successful. So it's really good to hear that. And also the thoughts around making it steel so it's fire resistant. My question is in terms of what the size was and what the new size of the new structure would be. Is it less? Is it more? Is it the same? Would be just kind of wanted to, because you know what you provided, it's the new design. So I'm just kind of curious what the previous footprint of that was. So I yield back. If you know the answer, that's okay. If you don't, it's fine if you could provide us later time.
Actually, it's almost identical. The only difference is the old structure was rounded post railing, so that it was actually a larger diameter. So technically, it provides probably a marginal larger footprint, but because of the new footings that will be installed, it's approximately the same size.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, due to the age also of the old one, it was installed originally, I believe, in the 70s. So because of that age, we don't have any records or plans of it.
Yeah, understandable. Thank you. I just want to say thank you, and this is really a good need for our community to install this. So I appreciate the staff looking into this. When will this be constructed if this goes through?
So the approximate timeline that we were given from Northwest Playgrounds would be in the March timeline. And most of that is because, as I mentioned, it's prefabricated. And due to the COVID-19 pandemic, there was delays. So normally they're about 10 weeks out. And right now they're at 12 to 14 weeks.
Yeah, I think it would take time to review those shop drawings. Yeah, so in time it gets done before summer, that would be really helpful. So thank you so much. I am supportive of this.
Thank you.
Thanks. And I don't have any additional questions, but this is actually, if we're okay moving it forward with our recommendation, it's going to move forward on tonight's consent or tonight's agenda, not consent. I'll probably tee it up.
Yeah, I think under new business, that's what
it is. All right. Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you.
Our next item is an update on park users security. Tonight is very parks heavy.
Hi there, Eric Lund, Deputy Chief. So the issue is, you know, from the last meeting, there was a lot of concerns about park users not adhering to rules, specifically Foster Park. What we're going to talk about tonight is just general overall, all the parks in the city, and what we're going to do moving forward as a collaboration between the police department and the Parks and Rec Department. So far what we've done is we've met, we've discussed what's been going on, we've gotten some statistics over this year. We've talked about, you know, the timing is good because now we're in the off season, so we can come up with a plan to address issues that are coming up that will be more apparent in the spring and the summer next year. One thing we already identified is a lack of communication between parks and PD. So they're unaware of a lot of things that occur in the parks. So we've already addressed that via Microsoft Teams group. So we have the appropriate people in place there to start a dialogue, to talk about what's going on at the parks. The other thing we talked about is rules, rentals, city noise ordinance. We had some discussion about that, but kind of looking for a little bit of direction from the council about how you would like to see us balance people enjoying the park and rules violations. That's kind of the big thing. So I'll open it up for questions, or if Chris wanted to speak to any of that, he is on too.
No, Eric, I think, Chris Kelly, Parks and Rec. I think that was a great summary. I mean, luckily we have a great PD, great park staff, and great neighborhood trying to get the same kind of goal. And it truly does come down to kind of the balance of, we got a busy park, good users, good activation. That's what we want. And so now how do we get some of these smaller, minor things kind of under control or just curbed a little bit better? So.
Thank you. Let's start with council. Let's do council member questions. Council member Quinn.
So I probably have a million questions, but I think the where you framed it makes a lot of sense, especially in the piece around communication, because that's a huge component to this. I would say the hope is that there would be some direct impact feedback from residents in the community who live around the park or who kind of uniquely have that experience of sharing their neighborhood with the park as an entree to information about some of the challenges. The other thing is maybe a methodology, right? There's a piece around where the direction of parks and where they're going, how we balance rentals versus kind of other uses. And it sounds like there's some tweaks to the agreements where we can kind of shore up social contract / kind of neighborhood park activities. There are some parks that are somewhat removed from neighborhoods, but I'm just kind of interested in maybe the Tukwila PD and parks working together, coming up with a methodology, a recommendation to say, here's where we can kind of shore up this component to make sure folks' experiences are a little different. Because I think we can give you our ideas of what's happening, but it's a really valuable to hear from residents who kind of experience it. And there are situations where if there's an issue, who's going to respond and how are they going to respond? Just a bunch of thoughts, but I think I value staff's experience, residents' experience, gathering data and information, and even park users' experience to build out kind of an approach to address some of the current concerns that we've seen across the city.
I think Chris and I talked about this. I think we don't have the rental numbers, but I think the day in question that caused a lot of the problems, that was not a rental. So it's just people on a first come first serve basis showing up and having a party, a birthday party. Chris, do you know how many rentals, like if we're talking specific to Foster Park, because I don't think all the parks have a facility that you can rent. Is that right?
Correct. There's only six shelters. So there's ball fields you can rent. When we really looked into the numbers, and I don't think this is the meeting for that, but we saw a lot of rentals and very few calls or complaints or officer initiated things. So overall, I think our track of the summer months was fantastic. We had a couple of things go on that, you know, kind of raised some concerns and were some blatant noise issues. But again, it's like that active park, right? If we had a "See You in the Park" banner up, we would have been thrilled because it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday in the park. And other than some noise, it wasn't really breaking laws or things like that. So I think with the communication and PD being involved with us being there and us having staff there next year, you know, some certain things can be put in place on the park side, as well as communication from PD. And then we'd have that communication to give to residents that are, you know, bringing those to our attention. So that was kind of the missing part. Like, what do I tell the neighbor when they call me at home on a Saturday that it's loud there? And that's where we're like, well, I don't know, council, what do you want me to tell them? Like, that's where we're a little bit in the, what should we do? I mean, you don't kick out 150 people that rented the park for a multi-generational birthday party, but neighbors are not happy either. And so it's just a balance that we're going to have to really massage. And we had that at Cascade View a few years ago, you know, that was kind of, and we had to work with some parking issues and get that to be a 2-hour parking, not a, you know, camped out all day. And so we're just going to have to work together. And the first step was just kind of figuring out what's really going on there. How many calls are you guys really getting? Why isn't staff there on Saturdays? You know, so there's stuff that we can do, and we're started.
If I can just respond, and then I'm happy to. I think it's a great point that you brought up around rentals versus non-rentals, right? And so then the next question is signage and process for mitigation or de-escalation, other pieces that are really obvious, which is the speaker situation and you know, what's the rules as it relates to amplified noise, because a lot of the issues were related to amplified noise. And I think we can give you our ideas, but I think there's a part where we need to get some feedback from, again, residents and park users, and then come up with a methodology to figure out a signage and process, and, you know, what happens when, and how do you make sure that maybe park staff is communicating with the police department and vice versa, because I think what you had was some 911 calls, and you had calls to the city, who spoke to them, how many times, and other things. And so I think what would be great is just having some real transparent approaches and recommendations for us to consider with, again, some residential input and park user input on how we can really kind of protect the quality of life of everyone associated with either as a park user or a neighbor that lives next door that looks at the forecast and says, oh, got this all summer.
The great thing about that particular neighbor is she's on Parks Commission. So she's going to be, you know, definitely part of the conversation. And I think Parks Commission should be heavily involved with some of these, you know, decisions or recommendations going forward.
Councilmember Egan.
I was going to get into like more of the numbers. So, maybe I won't. I guess the thing that I'm thinking about is communication. I think everything else that I want to say, Councilmember Quinn has covered. But the affected neighbors, if they really are experiencing and are talking to us, it'd be good to figure out a way to communicate, although it's very difficult when someone just walks in and you don't know if they're going to be on the field. So that to me, I just don't know how you can give a neighbor a heads up. If they know before you, or before you, they can get any message from you. So I struggled, and I think I don't know how to look forward on ways that we can mitigate. But I also trust your judgment because you've had similar issues. You mentioned on Cascade, and you have that lessons learned when you're back. So I look forward on seeing some sort of a plan, coordinated plan. I'll be very supportive of that. I yield back.
Thanks. This is a tough issue, I think, because there's just a lot of balancing that has to be made. Like, when do you enforce? When do you not? And who enforces? And in what situations and what kind of issues are we talking about? You know, are we talking about fights in the park? Are we talking about they're too late? Are we talking about too loud? Are we talking about, like, you know, people cooking stuff in the park that they shouldn't? Like, there's just a whole host of issues, but you also have to balance. We want people to use the park, and we don't want to scare people off from using the park. I like this idea about coming, you know, maybe is this something appropriate that we could give the Parks Commission to look at? Because one of the things we want to look at is what are our current rules around rentals? What are our current rules around the park? And then I think that we should get involved in terms of who enforces, you know, do we want police to come when it's just a noise complaint? Like, could someone from Parks come instead? I think those are things that we should be considering. And here's a question that I do have that was more of like a comment. When there are rentals on the weekend, say there's a rental in the park on the weekend, is there someone in Parks who's technically working that day, or the agreement's in place and nobody's working on the weekend to sort of manage if somebody has issues with that rental?
Yeah, good question. So it's even muckier than that too, because there's a rental department in the recreation side. So they rent it, but park staff is in a park. So typically, like, the standard operating procedure is, you know, guys come in the morning on a Saturday, they hit all the rentals before 9 a.m. and they get them clean and safe for the day. And then if we're fully staffed, which we weren't this last summer, but typically they come back and check on the rental a couple times a day, give them more garbage bags, make sure that everything's working properly. But then about 2-3 o'clock, you know, they go home for the day. So it just kind of depends on the user group. But that's where I was kind of, I kind of want to almost go to who cares if it's a rental group, right? It's really what's going on in the park. Because the rental group, yes, we could say we're going to take your damage deposit next time or whatever. But really, it's like, okay, something's going on in the park. Does it break a park rule? If it does break a park rule, and I was working with Robert Eaton, and I don't remember the officer's name, so I apologize. But 8 years ago, we did the park rules kind of based on the TMC so we could help enforce them. And so they're pretty close to what we can enforce. It just comes down to some of these are like that gray area, right? It's not like someone's got a knife in the park. It's the music's kind of too loud. So, or they're cooking a pig and it's supposed to be charcoal and it's briquettes or, like, you know what I mean? So it's like everything was like this perfect storm of like gray area. And how do we enforce it? So I like Parks Commission being involved for sure. I think Matt, the park supervisor, you know, he does more the day-to-day, so we can. And I talked with John and Eric about more staffing, you know, later. Like, I think Matt's plan for this summer was to hire lots of seasonal so we could have a swing shift guy there at night that maybe doesn't enforce things, but if he's there to do garbage, he's saying, hey, we got a couple of complaints, it's too loud, you know, and then the next step would be get the police involved, or, you know what I mean? Like, we'll get something a little bit more if we have staff that can help with this communication, because really when we look at all these parks, Crestview, Cascade View, Crystal Springs, we have kind of a neighborhood spokesperson, and everyone's different, right? Crystal Springs has Mariana, who's very vocal and has no problem calling me at 5 a.m. because something's going on. And then we have another one that will save up 3 different things at Crestview that has been killing him for a month. And I'm like, you got to tell us, you know, you got to know what's going on. The park didn't get closed. You got to tell us. So we really have, we massage and manipulate and work with these people as much as we can, because they're part of our family, because they're right next to the park. They're our eyes and ears, because we can only be so many places. And so I don't know if Eric and I are going to be able to come back and say, here's our master plan, how we're going to do it every time. But I think there is 3 or 4 key steps we can do to get better at what we're doing and make everyone that much happier.
I think to add to that, you know, it's easy to address fights and crime, right? Like, we'll just go address that. But when you're talking about noise, we don't mind being called, and I don't expect any of our officers, this is me, to go and issue a fine because somebody's playing loud music. That shouldn't be the first step. We can come in and negotiate and, you know, hey, can you kind of turn it down a little bit? There is steps in the TMC that allow us to fine people, but then if you have a group of 100 people, are you going to pick somebody to fine? Who's going to pay the bill? That's difficult too. So, you know, Chris and I have talked a bunch, and the balance is the key thing here. And so I think if we just, the residents that call, it's good. Officers have gone and talked to them and tried to explain the situation. And, you know, I think it helps. But we got to also see it from the residents' perspective too. So I think it's good that we're going to include their input and try to come up with a solution. But, you know, now it's winter, and I think we have a lot of time to try to come up with something. So I think it'll be successful.
Do we still have that list of rules, Chris, that you were talking about that was put together by Robert? And
yeah, they're posted in every park. So
they're at every park.
Every park, big and small. I mean, we try to put it at every entry point of parks so that there's no excuse that if you came into the park, you had to pass it at some point. And there, you know, it's not in every language, but it's got the English list, and then it has kind of the pictures to kind of match it. So it's not foolproof, but at least we can, you know, refer to it if we have to encounter something.
Yeah, it's a place to start. I don't know if we're allowed to assign anything to the Parks Commission. Like, that's more of the.
Well, I'm the city. Right? Yeah, I'm the city liaison. So I'll add to the agenda. They want to be involved as much as they can be. So it won't be a problem. And she's on the commission, so she's going to be very happy to see it part of our workload.
Sounds good. Are there any additional questions, comments by the council members? All right. Well, we thank you for taking this matter to the Parks Commission. Definitely take it back to us. If they're stumped too, then maybe we need to have like a more of a community conversation around this issue, or go back to Kathleen directly and talk to her about some working this issue out. But I really appreciate the time, Chris and Deputy Chief Lund, looking into this issue and spending time sort of brainstorming with us what to do next with it. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. The last item on our agenda is an update on Tukwila work. I've got Naisha and Joel. Oh, Naisha, you're on mute.
Thank you. good evening. Naisha Fort Brooks, Administrative Services Department. I am wearing glasses because I stare at screens all day and it's becoming blurry. I am here this evening with Ryan Matthews and Joel Bush from our Technology Innovation Services Department. And we are here to discuss the Tukwila Works online reporting tool. But before we dive into that discussion, Joel Bush would like to introduce you to Ryan Matthews, who also works in the TIS department and is a city employee, and wants you all to learn a little bit more about who he is and what he's done.
Okay, so this is Joel, Chief Technology Officer. So Ryan started helping out in the TIS department in the summer of his freshman year. So he's been helping out when he had time over the last 3-4 years, and he's done quite a bit. And this last C-Click Fix project, School of Work, is kind of a culmination of like a lot of the things he's learned. I just want to say thank you, because Ryan's going to University of Washington now, and I'm hoping he has time to hang out on Fridays. But I just want to show like some of the work he's done while he was in TIS, interning during the summer primarily. Can you pull up your portfolio, Ryan? And talk a little bit more about yourself.
Okay. So, hello, everyone. My name is Ryan, like Joe said. Pulling this up. So, I've been at the city for around 3 years now. And ultimately, before I start, I'd just like to say it's an honor and a privilege to have this opportunity. I know it's very rare that many people get this type of opportunity, and words can't describe my gratitude and the fact that I'm able to, you know, present before you guys and City Council. I just, special thanks to Joel and everyone who was able to help me along the process. Along with the projects, before I get into that, I also wanted to emphasize the experience I learned, and especially more so the soft skills I learned. Really, this internship allowed me to sort of mature faster and really allowed me to gain industry skills that I won't be able to, I won't take for granted, especially in the future. And yeah, I mean, going along with that, here's a list of my a few selected projects that I took part in to complete during my time at the city and continuing to complete. I think the one I'm most proud of and the greatest one was integrating data. Well, it was the Tequila Works one, C-Click Fix request form, where I was able to integrate data from SharePoint with Public Works' asset management software, Lucidy. It was for tracking stakeholder support requests in the city, and it was an extensive process, but we managed to get it done, and right now it's launched a few weeks ago, and it's going pretty well. Another project I thought was pretty notable and pretty nice was automating payroll processes for city employees. We ended up digitalizing the city's personal action form, and actually was able to reduce the cycle time from 3 weeks to 2 days. Understanding, going back to the experiences, has really helped me understand like department needs and business processes and automate things in the most effective way possible. And then lastly, I think a big overview was giving back to the community and working hand in hand with NYSHA, especially with equity analysis and outreach toolkits. And business surveys even to get information and data based on what's going on in the city and like what we can do based on the needs of the city and, you know, how we can ultimately help. Like, for example, for the COVID-19 pandemic, we put out a business survey to make sure businesses were aware of relief sources and yeah, just things like that, just to make known that the people in the city weren't being overlooked by us and that we tried to take everything into account. And yeah, after that, I mean, once again, I just thank everyone for the opportunity. And I guess I'll pass it back to Joel.
Yeah, so it's been an honor to work with Ryan. He's been so helpful, so insightful, and he's going to do amazing things. So.
Thank you, Joel and Ryan. And please don't leave, because I would love for you all to chime in during this discussion, given that Ryan is the one that developed this form. So many of you all know of the Tequila Works online reporting system, which was formerly managed by C-Click Fix. During the beginning of the height in the pandemic, we had to make some budget cuts, but we also had to make staff cuts. And those cuts specifically impacted our public works department. So our street crew are the majority users, our public works department are the majority users of this online tool. So when Ryan and Joel reached out to to me talking about how we're going to create something internally, I was really excited to bring this on with them. However, residents could continue to notify city staff via email or by calling in. And because of this, I have a deep relationship with many of our residents that I've never met before in person, who just feel comfortable emailing me, but they are aware of the new Tequila Works Centel form, but I think they just like that customer service and that touch base, knowing that they're going to get a really quick response. So there is that option for those who don't want to use the Centel form. In late August of this year, the city relaunched the online reporting tool, which allowed residents and guests to report non-emergency issues through the city website. The city is, as you all know, is not offering a mobile app. However, the website is mobile responsive on the iPhone and Android. And again, city residents still have the option to call in or email. And as always, if there are any technical issues, they have my direct number and they can email me if there's any issues that they are experiencing, and then I will work directly with TIS. Another couple of things that we did, we felt that was really important, is to do some engagement within our different departments to get their input and feedback. We engaged with our code enforcement, public works, and our Tequila Police Department. And that goal was really just to streamline the automation and communication process. We're still working out some bugs, and we expected that to be, but so far it's working out really good. And we do want to make sure that our departments continue to communicate with us if we need to fix things. And then for tracking purposes, Ryan has created an online SharePoint site for city departments to track and measure category issues, which is very similar with our C-Click Fix. And then additionally, it includes a time date stamp of trends when the issue is closed out by neighborhood and staff. Have also the capability of downloading Excel export to look at the data for themselves. So right now I just want to share my screen with you all really quick so you can see the site visually and the form. If I have it up, bear with me. Can you all see that?
Not yet.
All right. Just give me 1 second. Try this again. There we go. Y'all see that?
Yep.
Perfect. Thank you. So any resident that goes to the Tequila website will see when we relaunch the program. We provide for emergencies to contact 911. We also additionally provide when to report the issue. And then if they click on this, it will take them automatically to the Centel form, which Ryan created. So as that opens up, it's very similar to our past C-Click Fix questionnaire. We definitely want the contact information, phone, and request location. We ask them to be very detailed as possible, and if they have the actual address, is very helpful. We also have the location broken down into neighborhoods, so it provides the different neighborhoods that they're in. And then, again, similar to C-Click Fix, all the issues for issue categories. So for an example, if an issue comes in and it's for our public works department, that is automatically automated, and it goes through Lucidy that provides a ticket for the public works staff to address. And if for any reason it has been misrouted and it's not a public works issue, let's say it goes over to PD, then I also have the capability to go in and reroute it to the appropriate department and leaving a message for city staff to utilize. And then lastly, we also provide a description, and then something that's new to this is, would you like to receive notifications on upcoming city meetings or events? So that just allows us to reach out to community members or residents that we haven't done before in the past and want to learn more about what's happening in the city. And if Ryan or Joel, if I've missed anything, please chime in, but I will open it up for questions and answers and stop sharing my screen.
I think he did great, Naisha. I don't have anything.
Yep, same here.
Council Member Quinn, do you have any questions?
I have just a comment, a couple quick comments. Ryan, I just wanted to acknowledge that, one, you did fabulous, and two, it's an honor to actually witness your ingenuity and innovation in this space. And what I would say is, you know, in COVID, or in a time where you take a kind of a step back on a, you know, kind of an app process like this, and assess how well it's being used, but also building in measures and outcomes. And in particular, right, you can be value-driven, data-informed, and I think that that touches on kind of the equity components that you assess. So, it, you know, it's almost it's continuous improvement, and I know that's like office speak, but what I would say is this, that if we have something that we provide to the public, how do we make sure that it continues to evolve and get better based on the needs of the people that use it? So I would just say time well spent. Ms. Brooks, my one question I have is, since this is going to be a site, when you said the component around would you like to be notified about meetings or committees, is that related to a request that they may have, so that then, let's say for example, somebody brings up the issue of noise in the parks and I put that in Tukwila Works, and then I get notified when it's going to come up on a meeting agenda or a committee agenda? So that's just one kind of, and I know that's a lot of kind of programming, but I'm just wondering if potentially there might be a drop down for that. You know, would you participate in a meeting on this subject that you raised as a concern as a follow-up? And that's all I have.
Joel, did you want to take that one?
Yes, I got it. Or Ryan got it, if you share a Friday. Yeah.
Well, to answer your question, Councilmember Quinn.
No, that's something that can be programmed. Yes, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Yes, that is the goal, because we do realize this is a new launch, and we want to make sure that we can communicate with our residents or community members about these type of issues moving forward. There's more a lot that we have to do, as Joel said, but we can make that happen over time.
Thank you. Council Member Eden.
Thank you. I just want to second Council Member Quinn's comments on Ryan. Ryan, I think, you know, you did a fantastic job on presenting. I still struggle presenting, so at your age and what you're able to do, I just want to say kudos to you. And I also want to, you know, give shout out to our staff, Joel, and all the other members of who, you know, helped them with all these work and around mentoring him. That's a lot. So I just want to say thank you, and that's why we are City of Tukwila. So thank you to the whole of our staff and all the kids that, you know, continue to intern with us. I just have two questions. One is just for my understanding of different, like when I hear about Tukwila Works, see something flicks or something like that, and then Lucidity, like what are all those mean? Are they just one thing doing different things within one component? I just wanted to understand that. My second question is, I'll just wait for that one, but go ahead if there's a response to that.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and answer each one. So Lucidy is an asset management tool for public works organizations, and it's a work management tool. So it's the best of breed tool for public works departments to manage their asset and to do things like work orders, like tickets. It's very similar to TIS has a ticketing system, but it's specialized to public works organization and has some integrations with GIS and things like that since it's public works. CClickFix was more of a citizen engagement platform for reporting issues, but it was a niche platform. It wasn't integrated with, per se, Lucidy. But we wanted a strong integration between whatever was reported that went right into Lucidy, because we want our public works department leveraging that tool that they're implementing. So it was a nice solution for SharePoint, because SharePoint's a list that can be used by internal staff. Like Naisha doesn't have a work management system for her role. So SharePoint can do that. But if there's other teams with or other departments within the city, like Public Works, it could tie right into their systems. They won't have to touch this item twice. Does that make sense?
It does. So I think Lucidy is the asset management piece, which
yes.
is for Public Works. I thank you. The other thing that I wanted to ask, and this came from a resident, when the mobile app, like when the app was there previously, you could report an issue as anonymous. You didn't have to put your information. Now on the website, it's like it has that red asterisk that you have to put your information in. And some folks, how it was communicated, didn't feel comfortable. So how can we respond to that is a question that I had, because I wanted to understand, but that person said, I don't want to be the only person that's the city seeing, oh, it's John Doe, or here we got another one. So that person wants to remain anonymous and be able to report that. They have that flexibility. That's just a comment to consider. My last question is, how much does it take? I know, how much does it take to bring it back? It was, and I'm talking about financial. How much does it take to really, this is a discussion item. You're not asking us to do anything tonight, but if you feel comfortable, how can we go back how it was, where someone can download the app and able to take a picture, put the location, boom, it was fast, it was easy. And then the other thing that it did, the feedback I got was, you feel like you were heard. Someone is gonna take that and say, hey, it's Department X. And if Department X takes that, you had a note to put there, hey, what's going on? And then someone's gonna respond to you. So it was really a good tool for our residents. In closing, I also want to say thank you for putting that question. If someone wants to engage, the largest city doesn't really have to be what they came to talk to you about. So if you're interested, so I appreciate you, Naisha, putting that question or whoever did. So I just want to say thank you. I yield back.
Hey, Ryan, do you want to take that question? Anonymous users in the forum, do you want to try that?
So, I can try, but you might need to help me. So right now, there is such thing as anonymous users in the sense that they're external users outside the city, so like Tukwila residents. Right now, we have the residents. We're capturing their email addresses, so it kind of goes back to your, like the notes and impersonal stuff. We wouldn't be able to reach that person without like their email address or something like that, so they wouldn't be able to receive updates on the issues. But that's one side of it as well. And yeah, you have anything to add? Am I missing them?
No, I think you did pretty good. So we can say you don't have to submit your name. That doesn't have to be a requirement. But since we don't have complete control of the code for the Sentinel form solution, when you're an external user, it asks for your name and your email address, because along the way, the user or the stakeholders engage. When they submit it, they get a note, hey, we got it. When it's assigned to a department, they get a note, hey, this has been assigned to a specific department. And when that department takes action and resolves it, they get a note that says, this is what Department X did to resolve it, and it goes back to them. But there's a way, if they want to be anonymous, we can say, if you want to be anonymous, just put in x@gmail.com. But I know that isn't, that probably isn't ideal. How do you explain that? In terms of the cost of C-Click Fix, I think I heard, I'm going totally off memory, I might have to go back. Do you know the license cost of C-Click Fix? I think it was the high teens.
It was in the high teens, Councilmember Edon, and I know Rachel Bianchi, Deputy City Administrator, is on the call that can help with answer additional questions to that. But I do know that it was in the high teens, and if we do go back to them, it could mean that the cost could go up once we get at full capacity with staff. And then in regards to the pictures, residents and community members and guests have the option to upload pictures into the Sentinel form so that we can see specifically the location that they are making the request for.
Oh, go ahead, Jack.
So just a little bit of clarification around the anonymous. So when it was on the app, you would still have to put down your email address, or you did not, or because this is just the comparing what we used to do versus what we have now. And I'm hearing external users, so I'm kind of thinking, did we have that system in place previously, or we did not, just because now we are using SharePoint that, you know, it requires you to have your name and your email that you share those information so you could get, feedback. Because I think one of the things that I was mentioning is this is the feedback from a resident that used to use, you know, on the mobile app, and now, you know, on the website, those weren't there. So is it because we moved to this system, that's why? Or if we revert back to the old system, then it still continue the way it was. I just want to kind of get those clarifications.
Councilmember, I'm happy to jump in here. Rachel Bianchi, Deputy City Administrator, live from soccer mom practice here. Sorry about that. So it is different. Previously, with the C-Click Fix application, you did not have to put in an email, because what it did was basically it created a issue number in their system, which then you as the reporter could go in and review that issue number, right? And so you didn't you were not personally tied to it. You were just kind of issued a number. I would say that if the council is interested in us going back and looking at technologies that could produce a similar thing, staff would be happy to. But one of the things that Joel said early on, I think, is really critical, which is that integration with Lucidy. C-Click Fix was not able to do that at the time, right? And so I think I would say that if council is interested in us looking at what it would take to bring something like that on, let us do some research to find out what really would integrate with our other systems. Because I think if we're going to do that, we want to make sure that we're fully using all of our systems to their capability.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think I agree everything you said, and I think I am interested in seeing, something that really integrates and also provides that type of touch with our community. And because if you see something take a picture, put the location, you submit and you follow through, and then someone will follow it from us, from the staff level. And we also want to have an account in regards to relation with our asset management software. So I am interested. I don't know from outside, you know, I'm saying I am just one of seven. I don't know how processes are. So and I would like to see it and get that information before our amendment process of mid-year budget, so you know what that looks like and can make those informed decisions. I yield back.
How, this might be a really dumb question, but before it was an app, but now this is something that could be accessed online through a website. Okay.
Yes, that is correct. And it's the City of Tukwila's website. And Councilmember Delestrinos Johnson, we have been receiving a lot of Tukwila Works requests. People are finding them and are utilizing them. And so it seems to be pretty user-friendly. However, we know that anything that's with digital access creates barriers to our communities. So we do recognize that and always willing for input and recommendations on that.
Definitely. It's hard because there are a lot of good things that you guys are presenting to us today about what has been created. And then we're comparing it to what it was before. So it's hard to compare two different things. And then we're like, well, we want all of it now that you created all these like, integrations. And I love hearing all of it, but then, you know, I remember having the app and that was really easy too. So it's difficult, but I really appreciate hearing all the work that's being done. And I really appreciate Ryan being here with us today and presenting to us. I think that's even better that you guys were mentoring, along the way and providing that meaningful experience for Ryan to really get his hands on, real work that matters in our city. What would you guys say is the next steps? Because this is discussion item only, but Joel and Naisha and Ryan, what do you guys hear are next steps on this? I know that I think it's great. I love the direction it's going. You heard some concerns from Councilmember Edan. What do you guys think is sort of next?
I can take this one. So we can look at how C-Click Fix has evolved, work with them and see what their integrations are with Lucidity. It's really important whatever tool we select integrates with Lucidity, because we want Public Works to really leverage their work management tool and asset management tool. So maybe there's something, if C-Click Fix can't do it, maybe there's another tool that's available that integrates with Lucidity. We just don't want to get Public Works in a position where they have to manage work requests in two separate tools, because that would be a real challenge for them, for anyone managing work requests in two places. Does that make sense? We can look at doing it and come back with numbers and what we can do.
Definitely. And I see Rachel has her hand up. And just so I was chair of transportation infrastructure last year, and I know that C-Click, when I was visiting the guys at the shop, the C-Click Fix was, they understood that it was good for the residents, but I know that it significantly changed their workload. And so I just want us to be conscious of, you know, if we want this tool, we also have to recognize that it may increase the need for staff on Public Works too. Go ahead, Rachel.
Thank you, Councilmember. I just wanted to echo what Joel said, but then also I know Councilmember Don, you had mentioned, could we do something prior to the budget amendment process? And I just want to say that we probably don't have enough time to do that, because the budget amendment process is going to start in the next couple of weeks. But we will go ahead and do this work. And Council, as we've done in the past, right, if you're off cycle from a budget amendment and you want to add something, we have a history of just having consensus on that. And then we have a legislative record of it. And then we come back during the budget amendment process. So I wanted you to know we're going to miss that timeline, but it's really your timeline at the end of the day. So thank you.
Thank you. I think that plan sounds good to me, Councilmember Quinn and Councilmember Edan.
Yeah, thanks so much for that last comment, Ms. Bianchi. I'm totally fine with that. Just thought we could get something if you can. I love when staff speak up and say this, we can't get it in time. So thank you. We'll see whatever else we can, bring this up and see where we can implement. Just the fact that I articulated some of the things that I am hearing, and I also understand, I learned that there are some challenges too. So in the future, how do we balance that? I trust our staff will work on that. So
Councilmember I would agree 100% with Councilmember Edan. I mean, I think there's a piece where how do we make it better? And it's also good to flag, hey, here's our interest. And if we can work out that issue or operability, I think we should do that. And it's also a nod to staff wanting to incorporate it in asset management tools, right? We got to get better and better with technology. And then I just wanted to throw out, I know that this is definitely a popular issue in the community, and if we were, I don't know if we have any public comment today. I just wanted to if that was the case, because I don't know if we said that at the beginning of the meeting. So just a high level question, that's all, or high level suggestion.
If I may, Councilmember Dawson-Johnson. Just a thought. I think the next, maybe one thing that we could figure out is next time when we're working on, I don't know when, Lucidity, the asset management tool, figuring out when we're getting that software or renewing that software, figuring out a way that it could work, something within, they don't have to go to places and also manage Tequila Works within that software. I'm not an IT, but I just think it would be good to figure out at that moment, it would be a good stop and figure out if this would be a good place to look into it. So just one of thought, I throw it down out there. Thank you.
Thank you both. And thank you, Joel, Naisha, and Ryan, for coming to present to us. And we look forward to having you come back and sort of giving us updates on this.
Thank you.
So I do recognize we do have a guest with us, Jerry Goss. I'm not sure if you wanted to come in and make public comment at this meeting. We have a couple minutes if there's something you wanted to address. Oh, well, you're on mute.
Mm-hmm. They're the opposite of my normal. I am interested in the C-Click Fix. I personally don't mind going online. There is the leaving your name that could sometimes be not okay. I just care that things get done and handled. And you don't even have to tell me that they got handled, I'll know. So that is one concern, and it's been 2 years pretty close that we haven't been able to say anything. So things have really piled up, and I do appreciate the fact that that creates more work, but only in so much as we don't deal with it, and then people continue to do the things that we're not dealing with. But if it's just like kids, if you deal with it, then it's not a big deal because they learn that that's not okay. And, you know, if you ignore it, it goes on and on and on. So that's all.
Thank you. Thank you for coming tonight.
Yes. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
All right. We have a little bit of time. I had one miscellaneous item. It maybe you'll go really fast because I know that I'm sorry. Zach's meetings go so, his finance meetings go so long and mine go so long or go so short and mine go so long. But I did want to follow up or at least give Laurel a chance to talk about some follow-up item that I had asked her about. And it was in relation to the Cascade behavioral health workers. I just asked her if there was any follow-up things that we could do, just recognizing a lot of the different information that we're getting and the meeting that, you know, Deshaun had with the legislators. And Laurel had an idea, and I just wanted to bring her in to sort of talk about that and see if maybe that's something we want to do.
Thank you, Council Member. You know, I've been doing a lot of thinking about this, and I know you have as well. You've heard some really heart-wrenching public comment recently, and it's also been difficult to understand what the council or the city's role is in a labor dispute and a employee safety dispute that's really handled at the state level. But one thing that you can do is be an advocate for your community. It's one of your strengths, and so I was thinking you could write a letter just expressing some of what you've heard, and that letter I think would be appropriate to go to probably the Department of Health. We can work out the logistics later, but that's something tangible you could do in the short term. And if there's support from the committee, you could ask the full council under a miscellaneous opportunity to see if there's support there as well.
I'm supportive of that, Deshaun.
I'm definitely supportive of that. And I would just say to this committee who actually had a lot of testimony and we were kind of shown a path. And then when we got to the full committee, there were our full council, then there were some details that create, I don't know for you, but it created for me some concern. And I go back to, at least for me, the original concern around, let's make sure that the safety pieces are taken care of. You know, a detail around, and we don't have to get into it here, but a detail around if there is a policy where folks are being told not to do something, then we would never know that that occurred. We would never have a police report. So I would actually like to have another conversation before we take a next step, although I agree with the next step doing a letter, but it was like two different meetings. And yeah. I don't know about you, but I almost broke my neck on a couple of key things. Like, well, wait a minute. And then specifically, if there's keys missing, there's a residential concern. Speak to that. And then here's the other more complicated thing, and this is the thing about city's role and others. Like, HIPAA is a pretty clear law that if it's a patient-on-patient or within the facility, we don't have access, nor would the police department have access to that information unless there was a mitigating circumstance. And so, again, this is more of being thoughtful about the complexity of the type of business that is, so we can make sure we're dotting the I's and crossing our T's, because it gave me even more concern about safety for the general public. If they have a rule where there's certain things that just don't go out, and then HIPAA says by law it's a medical record, so we don't have to say anything. So just I want to throw that out. Sorry to go on to that, mm-hmm. but I just thought it was like I was just like, whoa. And then it was like, it makes sense.
Are you saying have another discussion about, because yeah, I did have concern when there's conflicting testimonies and it seems like they're being told not to report, and that's why there's no report. Like, we haven't really talked about that piece yet. But Councilmember Edan, what are your thoughts?
I agree with Deshaun. I like your analogy of breaking neck. So I agree. It was totally two different meetings. And I support the letter. We should do it very fast, very quick. If you can bring it out tonight, that would be great, because I think it's going to be a short meeting. And doing another check-in with Cascade Behavioral, their staff and the CEO, I think, was here last time. So it would be good. I yield back. Thank you.
Thanks. I'll bring it up in miscellaneous. Laurel, will you be able to just speak about it? I don't know if Kate had the heads up, or if I just bring it up in miscellaneous, that'll be fine.
I'll give Council President Kohler a heads up right now. There's a few minutes before the meeting, and if she has any concerns, I'll try to reach you as well.
Okay.
But that sounds good to me.
Sounds good. All right, we will adjourn this meeting. Thank you, Jerry, for meeting us. Oh, Zach, did you?
Yeah, but quickly, I just wanted to say if Laura, the question for Laura, if you know the whole council does not want to do the letter, the folks that want to do the letter, can they just go ahead and still do that letter if tonight? I'm just, you know, around that, maybe when you're commenting, if there is folks that don't want to do the letter, you know, can other folks that want to do the letter get out that and, you know, move forward?
Sure, we can figure something out. I mean, you can always do something as less than a quorum of the council. You can sign letters individually as a council member. There's flexible options there.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. Sorry, Susan.
Oh, no worries. No worries. All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. I will see you at the next council meeting at 7 o'clock.
Yep. See you, everyone. Thank you. Bye.